Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud. It is October 9th, 2013, and this is, of course, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter, and as we do each week, we talk about all the search and social and local and mobile news and stuff that's going on that you ought to know about. And as ever, I love the fact you tune in, so thanks so much. I do appreciate it. I'm going to follow up today with, a follow-up from last week's show. I got an email from the alliteratively named Steve in San Francisco. And Steve, first of all, thank you for the email. Thank you for the very kind words. It was very long, but very interesting. And I'm going to kind of sum up what Steve was talking about, which was last week I was talking about how Google created sort of an SEO shutdown with these new changes they've done. I'm not going to rehash the whole thing right now, but it was a whole point about how Google has taken a lot of the data about the keywords that come in from organic search out of the reports that come to you, out of the data that comes to you. That makes it a little tougher for you to know what people were searching for when they came to your site. That said, you know, I said it's not really the death of SEO, and Steve's basic point argues pretty heavily that it is. And one of the reasons that I think it's not is that if you look at search, search is evolving. Search continues to evolve. What we think of as search is changing a ton. Wired magazine has a post from a couple days ago that has the punny headline, "Google in Jeopardy. What if Watson beat the search giant?" And it's all about how Watson is making real progress and real headway into solving a lot of the sort of conversational search problems that Google's already trying to work on as well. Now, I talked about this, some time ago in a Travel Tuesday post about what Watson, Xbox, and Google are telling you right now. And from about 6 months ago, 5 or 6 months ago. And the thing is, search continues to evolve. Like, here's something to consider. Those of you who read the blog frequently at timpeter.com/blog know that I have talked for quite a while in my Travel Tuesday posts about the growth of Google putting more information into its Maps product about products and services, including flight search, which was really the big impetus for that original post. And what's happening is Maps, for instance, is kind of a real-world search engine. Right now, we're not just searching for pages. We're searching for things. We're searching for locations. We're searching for deeper contextual information. And as anyone who read my review of Robert Scoble and Shel Israel's book, The Age of Context, knows, context informs a lot of what we do from a search perspective, a lot of what we do from an interaction with computers perspective, in ways that I don't think many of us think about very much. So while I've talked about this more than once, I do think it's worth noting that search isn't what we always thought it was. Search continues to evolve. Search continues to change. And it continues to evolve and it continues to change as our relationship with our computing devices changes. You know, we no longer live in an era where you necessarily sit down at a desktop computer or even pull out a laptop every time that you want to learn something, or every time you want to transact, or every time that you want to figure something out. You know, your mobile plays an enormous role in that. Tablets play an enormous role in that. Recent data from IBM's social business blog talks about the fact that the rise of mobile has nearly doubled the time we spend online. Now, people who've listened to me talk about this before, read past blog posts about this, know what I mean, because I always talk about the fact that the mobile, your mobile device, is at hand. It's right there, ready for you to reach out and grab it, or in all likelihood, you're holding it in your hand right now. And not just if you're listening to the podcast, but if you're sitting on your couch watching television, or if you're walking down a street, if you're, you know, probably true, out to dinner with your wife and kids. You know, you're sitting there, you got your mobile phone handy. It's just something people do. And that's going to continue to change the way we interact with information and the way we interact with technology. There's an article out the other day that talks about the fact that Disney has invented a new haptic touch interface. So this is kind of weird. Haptic touch, haptic feedback, if you've not heard of it, is the thing like when you're playing a video game and if it's got a driving wheel, let's say it's a racing game and it's got a wheel, a steering wheel. When you make a turn, you feel the wheels push back against you, you know, as the ground is pushing back. That's haptic feedback. If you're in a fighter plane simulation, or if you're in a first-person shooter and you fire the gun, you'll feel a little kickback in the gun mechanism, in the gun interface. That's providing you feedback. And so Disney has introduced this thing. The Washington Post has an article about it that talks about how they've invented a touch interface that will let you feel textures, right? Now, think about what that does from an e-commerce perspective. Think about what that does from an interaction perspective. And increasingly, the way that you interact with this information is going to become more real, is going to become more tactile. Whether it's something that you see on a glass, like Google Glasses, you know, a little pop-up screen like that, whether it's on your mobile device, whether it's a wearable computing device like a watch, whether it's a touch screen that gives you that kind of feedback, it all goes towards helping you experience, helping break down the walls between digital and the real world. There's a great piece up on TechCrunch from a few weeks ago that talks about how Major League Baseball is using iBeacon to track location and make the in-stadium experience much better for people, for consumers at the ballpark. And all of those inform your search activities. So when you're doing a search, search is smart enough to say, whether it's Watson, whether it's Google, whether it's Bing, doesn't matter who ultimately solves for this, but that's something they're all taking into account so that when you're at a ball game, per se, and you conduct a specific search, it knows enough to say, who is this? Or what is it that they're actually interested in, right? If you look up a specific baseball player by name, it's going to take a pretty good guess that you're looking for a baseball player and not, say, a politician who might have a similar name, or an actor who might have a similar name, or things like that, because it's fairly aware. And that's going to continue to be true. And that's going to change SEO, but it's not going to eliminate it by any stretch. Now, this is a topic I could talk about for a really long time. And in fact, I did the last week. So I don't want to go too deep down that rabbit hole this week, but I do think it's worth paying attention. I'm going to put a bunch of links in the show notes for this week of things that I didn't talk about. And I really encourage you to look at them because there's so much out there in terms of how this is changing. And obviously what I'm going to try to do each week is continue to help put some context around that. So you can say, how does this apply to my business? How does this change what I do? And I'll give you one example. You know, one of the things that I got asked recently, and I wrote a blog post about it earlier this week, is pricing engines and search engines that show pricing cause people to say, well, do I have to lower my pricing? Because now everybody can see everything about me. And the answer I gave in the blog post, spoiler alert, was no, you don't have to lower your pricing. Yes, your customers know more about you than they did. Yes, they know more about your pricing than they did. In fact, I would argue that many customers, or certainly a healthy chunk of really passionate customers, know more about your products and services than many of your employees do. That's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing if you have a good story to tell. And so your SEO and your content marketing and the activities you take there need to be focused on how do you tell a good story? How do you make sure people understand the value they receive for the price? So that if you do show up in a pricing comparison engine, or if somebody's in the store and they search on their mobile device, and let's say we have this haptic device and they can feel the texture of your product, if you're, say, a clothing manufacturer, or you know, you manufacture something that people like to touch before they buy, that's okay. That's going to help you tell a better story about your brand. So it doesn't change, it doesn't kill SEO. It kills how you use search and how you use these other interfaces that will come down the road to help answer your customers' questions. Because fundamentally, that's what they really need. And the better a job you do of that, the better a job you do of telling your brand's story, the better a job you will do of actually selling things online and helping people find you and helping them say, yes, this is something I want to buy. And that's really the key takeaway I always try to get people to focus on, either through the show or through the blog or anything I do from a consulting standpoint, is how do you tell that story effectively? So Steve, I appreciate, again, the fantastic email. Thank you for listening. Thank you for writing in. And don't forget, you too can write in. You can write to me at podcast@timpeter.com. That's podcast@timpeter.com. And I would encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, which you can do through iTunes by doing a search for Tim Peter Thinks or Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud or just Thinks Out Loud, or through your favorite podcatcher, whether that's Stitcher or some other podcatcher that you like on Apple, iOS, or Android. And as ever, I really appreciate you tuning in. I really appreciate you listening. I hope you have a fantastic rest of the week, and I'll look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud real soon. Take care, everybody.